Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I am your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is Four Questions with Linda Christina Reedman. If you listened to her interview, you'd know that Linda was the producer of The Wind Phone, which won multiple awards, I think six at the Film Invasion Los Angeles Festival in 2019. And to be fair, it won a lot of awards at a lot of other festivals as well, and nearly made the shortlist for the Oscar for Best Live Action Short. So Linda is a film producer of incredible talent, and she also grew up in Europe. She's from Austria. So clearly, her answers to the four questions are going to be pretty cool. And what are the four questions? They are: name your favorite films of all time, limit three. Name a film you think is underrated. Name a film that's overrated. And name a lesser-known film that people should seek out. So for information about Linda and all the other filmmakers who I've interviewed on this podcast, just go to discoverindiefilm.com. And if you're into social media, go to @DIFWins on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I'll stop talking and let you hear Linda's answers to the Discover Indie Film Four Questions.
I mean, my favorite, my actual favorite, like, not because I think it's a great movie per se necessarily, it's really personal, is Mamma Mia.
Right, that you just enjoy the most.
Because I have seen that movie close to 30 times, I think, now. And it's really what I think showed me how powerful film can be, because I watched it when I was, 16? I was having a terrible time. I was like an angsty teen, like felt like the world hated me, had no confidence. Like I had a friend who I always felt sort of like inferior to. And then eventually that resulted in a pretty like traumatic sort of, you know,
teenage
experience for me. And like that film was just so powerful and happy and out there that like I remember so like profoundly like watching it, how happy I felt. And I was like, oh my God, things are going to be okay. Eventually things are going to be okay. And it was almost like that movie got me through my teen years. I like watched it over and over and over. And whenever I was feeling down, it got me up and gave me hope. And so it's like that to me, like that movie's underrated because for me, it was so big.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And people,
but
instead of saying, what you consider the best films, it's your favorites.
It's exactly. It's like, you know, my other favorite films I really appreciate as both favorite films, but also as like, I think they're actually great films, you know? Whereas Mamma Mia is like, it's a popcorn movie. It's like a mainstream, I mean, and it's not really underrated because people loved it. It made so much money. It was a huge hit in the summer of, what was it, 2008?
But it was critically acclaimed.
Yeah. And I don't think it needs to be critically acclaimed. I don't know if it should be, but like, I think it's beautiful.
Right. You could be most delightful.
Exactly. So for me, it's underrated that not more people are talking about it, but I understand why, because the reason I think it is everything is because it's so personal to me.
Well, do you want to tell me your favorites?
Sure. I always say, and it's kind of funny, like it keeps being this one, but my favorite is Girl Interrupted.
Yeah, the Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Do we like talk about why we like it, or do we
absolutely
list them? I mean, I don't have to. I'm just curious.
How normally people will say it and they'll say why, or you can say all three and then say why. It's up to you. Go ahead.
I mean, I have a whole list, but I mean, they're all a little bit like within a similar theme. I mean, it's Girl Interrupted. I think I've always been attracted to stories with obviously like strong female characters at the heart, and I think that movie to me, like being set in, you know, the 60s and sort of in a repressed, both like in sort of like where women were still very repressed. On the other hand, there's all the movements for equality going on, and watching these women in this, you know, hospital or institution sort of not being valued by anyone outside, being like outsiders in terms of how society sees them, and yet just being such like complex, fully formed characters, like is so exciting to me. And I just think the performances, I'm a big Angelina Jolie fan as well. Like that's really where I discovered her. I love the character. She's so unhinged, and like to see just women who have both positive and negative sides to them, and like that just is beautiful to me. And I think every single one of them I can identify with in some sort of way or form. And I think it's beautifully shot as well. Like, I love the style of it and the color scheme, the color palette and the music. And I just really appreciate it as sort of a full work of art.
Excellent.
That's always stuck with me. Just the hours.
The hours.
Mm-hmm. Similar theme, sort of. Again, like a story, like a very like feminist sort of inspired story about women in different generations. And
yeah, although that took place, I'm blanking. Was that the 40s?
50s?
50s.
No. It's Virginia Woolf. So 19th century. And then
yes, of course,
50s is Julianne Moore's period. And then the early 2000s is Meryl Streep's period.
Right.
So it takes place in those three periods of time. And those women being connected by Virginia Woolf's novel, Mrs. Dalloway. And that has a lot of elements. It's like, I like period. I love like these like female centric stories with like very feminist elements to it. I like literature a lot and the power of literature and ideas and passing them down and seeing sort of how in that film, one book and one book sort of ideas from the creator to the person reading it many decades later has sort of inspired these people is really beautiful. I also think it's the first movie that I ever watched where I consciously realized how well written it is. Like, I remember thinking, oh my God, this movie is super well written at a time when I like didn't really think about these things yet. And it has my favorite monologue in film. There's like a monologue that Nicole Kidman does as Virginia Woolf, where she talks about being sort of locked away and not having agency over her own life.
I remember loving the film. Funny thing is I haven't seen it since it was in theaters, and I'm drawing so many blanks now. But
you should rewatch it.
I should watch it again.
It's a good reminder.
It was wonderful.
It's a really, really well done film, I think. And obviously the talent in it is incredible.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible cast.
Another one. I probably have like, I have a lot more, but I'll say like four. Do you just want to do three?
No, you can do four.
The Silence of the Lambs. I love that movie. Again, you know, strong female character at the center.
I just had someone mention it.
Yeah.
Is one of the
favorites. Think it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'm not a horror fan. I can't do blood, like gory things. Like, I get a very physical like reaction to it. But The Silence of the Lambs, like the psychology behind it is just amazing. And like, I love like these dark characters and exploring why they are the way they are. And like, Hannibal Lecter is so intriguing to me. I grew up reading a lot of like crime novels and thrillers. My dad is a big like crime like fanatic, and so that I always
that's
sort of
also
carry
just
with
a
me.
Technical, just yeah, what,
incredibly
what
well
Demi
film.
Did with that film.
Yeah,
did a lot of really wonderful things with that film.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I know, you know, it gets a lot of like, there's a bunch of things these days where people are like, well, it's homophobic, or it's like because of the Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you just alone look at like the role that Clarice Starling plays in that, and
yeah,
I don't know,
no,
it's
I,
not.
I don't, I would,
I'm very, you know, like mindful of all, but that doesn't really.
No, and that film. I know that it's based on books that are written by a guy who was, I think he'd been a crime photographer for a long time. So he actually experienced real true crime.
Yeah.
So, it comes from a real place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And
I love, one thing I love about that film is that it proves that you can make the big Hollywood movie with artistic integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And,
I mean, that film
fascinating,
is
fascinating, you know, technique.
Completely. I mean, it's such a well-made film. And like, that's one where I really enjoy watching that. That really speaks to me on a personal level, but I also think it's an incredibly well-made film that totally deserves all the accolades it gets,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And another one of those, which I literally think is one of the most perfect films ever made, is Brokeback Mountain.
Sure.
And I think it's gorgeous.
It's a great
and
film.
Like, I cry every time. It's just like so emotionally affecting. It's beautiful. It has something to say, like the acting is amazing and
the directing's great.
The directing, of course,
great.
Like all
yeah,
of that.
All
I
that
mean,
is
the
great.
Cinematography in that is so stunning.
It is. It's really, really good. I'm not even a Gyllenhaal fan, but he gives a great performance there.
Yeah. I became a Gyllenhaal fan after seeing
From
it.
That.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
He's great in it.
Yeah. It took me a long time to watch it. It just was always like everyone always talked about it. And it was one of those movies where I was like, God, I have to see that. And then like just didn't for whatever reasons.
Well,
like you don't see 20 million other movies.
Films to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like once I finally watched it, I was just so taken by it. And it like moved right up on my favorites list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a lot more.
One of my favorite directors. I mean.
Yeah.
But, and you have a fourth?
That was a fourth. I have more.
Apparently, I can't count.
My favorite movie last year was A Star Is Born, the new one.
Me too.
I love that movie.
Me too. I thought it was, and I went in thinking, there's no way. Like, I'm just not going to, and early in the film, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work for me. And then it kicked my ass.
Me too.
I thought it was wonderful.
Me too. Absolutely.
Crying like a baby. I loved it.
And I loved it. I went to, the only movie I've seen several times in theaters is Mamma Mia. That movie, like Star Is Born was the first movie I went to see again. I saw it 4 times. I saw it like regular and IMAX, an extended version and like something else. I don't know. I saw it 4 times. And it just, yeah. And I liked it more every time.
There's I'm not surprised. I haven't gotten to see it a second time.
Yeah.
I went to a senior citizen screening of all the funny things. It was right before the Oscars and I had to do my Oscar picks for a competition and I went to see it at like 12:30 PM on a Wednesday when everyone in the theater was over 70. And then there's me, you know,
I got to
feel like a teenager in my 50s because it was like, it's just me and a bunch of old people, but
that's great.
Such a great film.
Really like that. I was very skeptical. I'm a big Lady Gaga fan. And was intrigued by it for that, but not as excited and kind of was expecting to be like lukewarm about it. I thought I was going to be like, yeah, it's good. Love Lady Gaga. Great. You know, but really like got drawn in and the music is so gorgeous. And I just walked out and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Very good. So that's favorites. And
then I guess we did underrated.
Are we making underrated Mamma Mia?
Yeah, sure. Why not? We may as well, right? It's such an important movie. And where else am I going to talk about it?
You know what? I'll be honest. I haven't watched it because I'm not a big ABBA person, but maybe now I'll watch it.
Well, see, I'm biased too because I grew up on ABBA because my mom's a big ABBA fan. Mm-hmm. And so even when I was a kid, I heard ABBA. And so when that, I also like musicals in general. Like it really, like the music like really sways me and really gets me in.
Well, the truth is ABBA can be really good in film. Wasn't, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, that had
There was ABBA music in that.
I could not get enough of that movie.
See, that's one where like I've seen parts of it, but I never finished it.
Oh, it's a beauty.
But yeah, I mean, it's also a total classic. Like, I'm surprised actually that we never watched it in film school. To be fair, that seems like a very like watching like film school kind of film.
It kind of is. It's just remarkable performances.
Overrated films.
Overrated.
Well, one film I feel like people generally like that I could not finish is American Psycho. I feel like people always like, Christian Bale's so great in that. I couldn't watch it. I found it really painful. I can't really remember why, but I think it was so violent towards women that like, in general, just violent for no particular reason. And the themes in it just like really disgust me. So I had to turn it off. I don't know. It's probably not a great movie to mention to think that it's overrated, but I thought Black Panther was overrated. Like, I love what it does. I'm so grateful it exists and I'm happy for any accolade it's gotten because it's such an absolutely important film. I think the costumes were incredible. The production design, like the acting, all of that was so amazing. But I thought the story was so narrow and like there's nothing in that that really got me emotionally. And I just like wish that it had a story as complex as everything else around it.
I agree with you. When I first saw it, that was my exact reaction. And then with the 11-year-old girl in this house, we went ahead and watched the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, all 21 films, and then went to see Endgame. And seeing it again in that context, I loved it. I couldn't believe it. That was my
like in comparison to everything else.
Well, no, and also just how it fits into the whole. Because believe me, I had a real problem with Black Panther because the villain I thought he was absolutely right. I thought the villain was absolutely right.
That, yeah.
No, you've got to go outside your borders and help people all around the world.
Completely.
You shouldn't be this little, you know, I'll just say Switzerland, but, you know, you shouldn't be this little neutral hiding out your power. Go help the world. Go help the black people of the world. He was right. And the good guy and the hero was wrong. But then when you watch it again, you kind of can forgive that, you know?
Interesting. Well, I will say, and then you see,
it's, if you ever do see it again, I bet you'll like it a lot better.
Possibly. And, you know, you also, I feel like there are movies you watch a certain day and you're not in the mood for something, or you're not like in a good place personally in that day or whatever it is. And like,
oh, totally.
It just affects you completely differently than when you watch it again. And I will say that I don't have the context of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and watching all of them in that context, like in the right order as well, is actually a project that we did it chronologically.
Yeah. So chronological to the story, not the order of the films being released.
Yeah, exactly.
Order of the
That's
story.
That's what I want to do as well. And, yeah. That is a project that I still have to tackle.
I can throw them all on hard drive for you. You can watch them.
Oh my God. Yes. Can you actually?
Yeah. Because what I do is I'll tell you later what I do. I do not use torrents. I refuse to ever torrent. But
yeah.
I borrow DVDs and I just rip them to the computer so that we can time shift.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. That would make things a lot easier.
Yeah.
But that's literally been something that I was looking into recently, like what is the chronological
it's
order?
Actually because a beautiful I want to story. Understand it. It's actually a really good story. And I can't believe they were pulled off making 22 films in 12 years or whatever that holds together as a complete story.
Yeah.
I think it's
remarkable. He's a genius. You know how he got into where he is, right? Like he started very, like a very low, like when Marvel wasn't Marvel at all, he was like, I don't know, an assistant or something. He started in a very low position and didn't really have anyone else leading it. And he was a fan.
Yeah,
he was a pure fan. He loved it.
And there was no one of the materials that made it work.
And he understood it to the smallest detail, understood this universe. He didn't come in as a film person who was just like a senior veteran executive. He came in as a lover of comic books and Marvel in particular.
Right.
And that reflects,
didn't come in as a director who's like, well, I'm going to make a comic book movie this way. This is how I want to tell it. No, he understood comics.
Yeah, and he understood the fan base because he was one of them.
Yeah.
And so that's why he's such a genius at it.
And of course, it went down to appeal to everyone like me who, like, I, you know, read like 3 graphic novels in my life. And that's
Yeah, same. I mean, I used to read like Donald Duck, you know, had a phase where I was very obsessed with it. But I feel like it's such a part of our cinematic history now to actually understand the superhero world, and I don't know very much about it. And, you know, I've warmed up a little more to it now that I, you know, definitely went to see Black Panther because I felt like it wasn't this like very male driven white universe. Like, I appreciate it for that.
Yeah.
I went to see Wonder Woman because obviously.
Did you see Captain Marvel?
I saw Captain Marvel.
I love Captain Marvel.
I loved Captain Marvel. So I thought it was fantastic. Like, those films I go to see because they speak to me. And there's stuff coming out now, like the new Batwoman series, like that I'm definitely going to go watch that just started on the CW. Like, but I feel like I need to just understand as like someone working in film and wanting to have a career in it, I need to like make an effort to really understand the whole universe.
That's true.
And I think it's something, it's almost as important these days to like know than the classics. So I will eventually sit down. Maybe you'll help me with that.
It's very possible. I'm happy to. So the question is, do you have something for the last question, which is the lesser known that people should seek out?
Yeah, I actually have two very different films, if you don't mind too.
Please.
One is this 2014 indie comedy called Appropriate Behavior. It actually won. Some people know it, but I'm always surprised that people don't. It's it was very like acclaimed at Sundance in 2014. The writer director Desiree Akhavan has now. But she's now gone on to. She did this show called The Bisexual on Hulu, which got some press. She did The Miseducation of Cameron Post, like last year, I think. But Appropriate Behavior was like, I thought it was hilarious. It's just like a comedy about this bisexual Persian woman who grew up in New York, breaks up with her girlfriend, and then is like trying to navigate her 30s and feeling like, gosh, I'm way too old for this shit. And like, why am I still
don't have, like, why do I still not have a proper job? And why do I still, like, do this? So it's kind of like an existential thing about, like, sexual identity, about being in your 30s and feeling like you're not established, like watching all your friends who, you know, have all the success and riches and still sort of wanting to live in your parents' basement and not think about being an adult, that kind of thing. And I thought it was so brilliantly done, and the humor is amazing. I just really loved it. That was stuck with
great.
Me. Yeah. And then the other one is, I mean, you know, it was nominated last year for a foreign language Oscar. It's Never Look Away. But not a lot of people are talking about it. And it really, like, Kristen and I went to see it together. And we, like, when the movie ended, we just sat there and we were like, what just happened? Like, what did we just watch? Because it just really touched us on a very deep personal level. And it's basically, at its heart, it's like a long-winded story about, like, set, like, in Germany and, like, around the war. And it, like, jumps a bunch of time periods. But, like, at the heart, it's about art and creativity and how you find your own creativity in there somewhere. And it's so accurate in it. And I almost, like, feel like I don't even fully remember the exact story of it. It really just stayed with me as something that so profoundly touched me.
Oh my God, I feel like such a closed-minded old man. I've never sat through Mamma Mia. I've got to watch Mamma Mia sometime. Because after all, the film I saw when I was an angsty teenager was The Graduate. And I will never stop watching The Graduate. So hey, if Linda's angsty teen movie that spoke to her is Mamma Mia, I should give it a shot. I should watch it. I still dig teen stuff. Okay, so let me wrap this up first by thanking Linda for coming in. And she talked about the wind phone in the previous podcast. And, of course, this podcast, she answered the four questions quite well, I might add. If you want to learn more about the wind phone and Linda in general, just go to discoveryindiefilm.com. There's information there. There's also links to lots of great films, whether they're embedded on the website or somewhere else. Discover Indie Film is both a podcast that I do where I interview filmmakers from the festival circuit, and it's also a TV series on Amazon Prime Video that is all half-hour episodes of fantastic short films that you probably aren't going to see anywhere else. So check that out. Just search for Discover Indie Film on Amazon Prime Video. And the last thing I always got to mention is the festivals that I program. That's Film Invasion Los Angeles in June and the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that comes up every November. Film Invasion LA is at filminvasionla.com. I'm sorry, it's at Film Invasion LA on social media, and it's filminvasionla.com online. And the Sherman Oaks Film Festival is Sherman Oaks FF, whether that's at Sherman Oaks FF or Sherman Oaks FF.com. You will learn about that festival. They're both really great. The quality of films just blows me away every year. All right. Thank you so much for listening.